Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000 of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
All right. We're doing a pop-up podcast this evening. Only about 30 minutes here on It's My House. And tonight's podcast is titled, tonight or this afternoon, depending on what part of the world you're in, is Suzu Collective. Suzu Collective, that's S-U-S-U, Suzu Collectives. Now, basically, these are people that, a small group of people that put together some funds, and they go around the table. Everybody wins. Around the table, and when their number pops up, like pop rollers. I mean, merry-go-rounds. You get those funds. Now we got a guest calling in. Two guests actually. Well, actually, one guest and then a co-host. I'm about to let her on. And we're going to be going through this all week. So very important because you're going to get an opportunity to participate in this if you want to. Let's open up the mic. Robin, good evening and afternoon where you are.
Yeah, good evening. Pop goes the weasel, round the merry-go-bush. Me first.
Right.
Me first.
Yeah. I sent you a video yesterday. You got a chance to watch
it.
Explain,
from
that aspect of the video, because, I think it gives people a pretty good idea of what a SUSU is or microfinance?
SUSU, microfinancing, is where a small group of people get together and they contribute even a small amount of money. And then they take that combined and then they choose one person gets a loan, you know, every 40, every 60 days, whatever you determine the payout's going to be. And then the different SUSUs, you know, their focus and their features are on their various aspects. Here at It's My House, the focus of our SUSUs is we'll be taking the money that will be lent will be for the specific purpose of reinvesting in your tiny house purchase for and so on. Yeah. So it's really it's really amazing what they're doing.
Based
you know,
on the video yesterday, could you give the details that the lady revealed in the video? Like, you know, how many people started and then how
there
many
were,
people...
There were... They took an idea of 400 people, and they said, take 400 people, have everyone send in a dollar. Out of that 400 people, only 30 people sent in a dollar. Okay?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But they were able to take that and start some great, great things with that. So
now,
we encountered one
30,
lady.
From the 30 that sent in the dollar... Then, of course, it got a little bit smaller for larger amounts. But it ended up being, about 11 people?
It ended up being 11 people, and they're in their third year now. Their initial investment was $22, okay?
Okay.
Now they started off paying out every 60 days. Now it's... every 40. So every 40 days, someone else gets a loan. Mm-hmm.
Right. Matter of fact,
yeah.
In many cases, often three people might get a loan out of that 11.
Correct.
So
correct.
That's pretty impressive.
And,
yeah.
And so collectively, you've got these concentrated focus groups of people working together. We're financing each other and we're supporting each other and boom, there you go. Now you can't come and get the money for just frivolous things. These are all for specifically intentioned goals and stuff within the SUSU that you participating in. Yeah. So I hope that explains it, LA.
It does. Now we're going to take a caller here that she's a part of. Maybe you can call her a SUSU, but I'm gonna let her in. I'm opening up the mic of a person that walked the talk, Deanna Cashflow Robinson. That's my name for now, Cashflow Robinson.
I like that.
Cashflow, could you tell us about the investment club from the beginning, how many people came out to listen and what it ended up being and what you guys are doing now?
And wait a minute, what are you calling me? What's my new middle name?
Cashflow.
Oh, Cashflow. Okay. Oh, that's not too bad. Hi. Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. I invested in a fixer-upper house with three people.
Let's back up to the beginning, because that was January 1st, 4 years ago. So tell us, how many people initially just came out to hear the pitch that this contractor was putting out there?
Oh, I don't know. There, over the several months, there were about three other people who were calling in or attending the meeting, and it ended up with just two of us actually agreeing to invest in this house as a LLC. Oops. We formed the LLC, and then we started putting our money. We started saving, putting our money together every month, looking for something to invest in. And then a woman showed up who wanted.
Now, it's a pool of three of you all together, right?
What's that?
It's a pool of three of you all together, though, right?
Right, three people and one additional investor. There's actually four, but he's kind of a silent partner. He's not on the LLC.
Okay.
So there's three of us who have put in money and then finally invested in fixing up this house so that there are now five. It's a two-story, old two-story house. I think it was built in 1920-something. And it's two stories. So we have now have five rooms that have been fixed up enough to have bedrooms and or beds and dressers and antennas for cable. And then we're still working on some parts of the downstairs, the dining room, living room area. And then the kitchen got a new counter. So we've slowly been fixing this place up. But we do have five people renting the house, so that we get approximately $200 a month from this house each.
Okay.
Wow. Wow. I'll take it. Yeah, very good.
Now, you guys, when you started, it was because, like, the Cash Flow Robinson also, she watched your video. So you guys came in with a lot more than just $1. So, like with these Suzus, it all depends on – each one's going to be different. I'll put it that way. Each one's going to be different. But they do have small and manageable numbers. Any advice on people starting this type of savings and loan club or investment group? What can you share with us on what to avoid, what to do so to be right? Because you've been in there 4 years now.
I think you can always have something come up where it's going to require everybody to communicate and keep focused and be reminded what the original intention is and the goals. So I would just say keep the communication open. Have regular meetings every month at least. And if not that, phone calls. Because that's where we've kind of fallen off, is not having regular meetings. And then things have turned out that we're not getting things happening like we want. So I would make sure there are regular meetings, being open to agree to disagree, or at least open to listen and work out solutions together. And try not to be offended, because even with three people, we've had a difference of personalities working that have caused major conflicts. But we worked it out somehow, and the fact that we can now get some income out of this is a big plus.
I just say, remember what your
intention is. Always keep your intention in the forefront. And, setting a pure intention, first of all, what you want to do and how you want to do it, and then follow rules and guidelines established by the whole group.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, the intention, because, like I said, you guys took a two-story house, and I've been there maybe three times, I guess. But you took a two-story house, and I guess the intention was to provide affordable housing for people.
What's that again?
The intention, the original intention was to provide affordable housing for people.
Yeah, it was. We talked about that often, how there were so many people living in hotels and paying expensive fees for hotels or long-term rooms, and all the number of people who were looking for housing. We get a number of people just looking for a room. So that was our original plan, is just to try and provide some inexpensive, low-cost housing.
And you guys still do that, obviously. The $200 comes in.
And thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, because that's the biggest piece. No matter what economic level you're on, the biggest piece is finding affordable housing. I don't care how much money you have in your pocket, you know, so thank you. Mm-hmm.
Now, because I know it's you have a podcast and it's going to be a nice third person feeling. Let's promote that. What do you have on for tonight?
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you. What did you say?
What's your podcast for tonight on Soul Purpose Healing?
We're asking the question, what is Obama's legacy, and can we do better? Because I don't know if Robin or your listeners had heard about this petition going around to name the street that Trump Towers is on after Obama. They want a street named Obama Avenue Street or whatever on the place where Trump Towers is located. So that has created some interesting conversations. And I mentioned that Trump was Obama's legacy, and people lost their minds practically when I said that. So how could you say that? So I thought, let me do some research and find out what exactly is his legacy. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. And it's really all about perceptions and expectations, I found out. And so we want to talk about what he did well and what he didn't do so well. And then how can we do better? Because remember, the song was, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And he left us out of it, really, because we put him on a pedestal. And he can. Yes, we were singing, yes, he can. It was more like, yes, he can. And we just sat down and got our free phones. So that's what we need to resolve tonight, I believe, is what exactly is his legacy, at least for a variety of people. And then how can we do better? Because it was supposed to be about we, not him.
All right, well, setting up
very good.
It's a we project. Now,
What's the number so we can call in?
Well, you can actually. I'll be on Facebook Live, so I think you're my. You're my Facebook, right?
Yeah. I'll see the notifications. Okay.
So I'll be on Facebook Live, and I'll also be, for those who are listening, if they want to tune in on the phone and ask a question. It's 215-383-5863 to call in and comment over the phone. Or just type in, if you go to Facebook Live, you can type in your comments. Because I'm going to ask my Facebook Live audience, what do they think his number one legacy is? And so we can jumpstart from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that's on in 12 minutes.
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Eastern time. So we got another hour. About another hour and 10 minutes.
Can I have permission to simulcast this on Vibes Live TV tonight?
What do you mean, the show?
Yeah. Can I simulcast it to my viewers?
This is all about
Vibes
this is
Live
all
TV.
About spreading and raising consciousness. So of course, thank you. I would love that.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
No worries.
That's how we do it.
You watched that video that I sent yesterday, Robin watched it too. What was your impression of that video?
What video?
On microfinance.
The one on
microfinance. On microfinance, the Susu.
Oh, I think it's a great idea, I thought it was a good idea. It's just getting the right people involved, because when you send out a request for everybody to send a dollar and you only get, 2% or 20% of the people doing that, it just shows you how many people are going to really be dedicated to something. So you can't expect. We were hoping, even with my group, that we'd have, 10 people on this project, but that didn't happen. So I think it's better to have fewer dedicated, inspired people than 10 people who are going to do half-assed job.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a great idea. Just you have to work at getting the right. You might go through 50 people before you get maybe 10 good ones or whatever.
Yep.
But you
see,
do
that's
have,
why
I think you have to screen people and really find out where if they're dedicated and going to do be dedicated to do it.
This is why I say you always want to put
$1. Yeah, they started off
with
$1.
I was just
going to
say.
Go ahead, Rob.
I was just going to say that's why you want to put people in the bank. You know how we put money in the bank? We
mm-hmm.
need to cultivate people
right.
just as fervently as we do as stashing them dollars in the bank. Cultivate
right.
people with a rich array of character,
mm-hmm.
integrity,
yep.
and gifts. Yes. There you
I
go.
Agree.
Everybody would be just fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially integrity, because there's nothing worse than having people saying they're going to do this, this, or that, and then they don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's horrible. It's awful.
And that's critical with Isuzu.
Yeah.
Because particularly when you have a small number of people, and you know what? Small might be better.
Yeah, I
small
think
might
so.
Be
They,
and whatnot.
They got to be like-minded and
yeah.
like-actioned people, too. Actioned. Because
mm-hmm.
people will nod their head, yeah, mm-hmm, yep, sure, okay, yep, you bet. But they
mm-hmm.
won't do anything.
Right.
You want doers, too.
Yeah.
Doers as
absolutely.
Well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree with you, Gary. You probably have to go through 50 or more people to find the right. Well, it's one thing to find the people willing to do it. And then also, it's got to be some type
mm-hmm.
of chemistry on a positive
mm-hmm.
level for
yeah.
it to work also.
Yeah.
But
so,
see, you guys have been
so
together
you know,
4 years, so.
Yep, and so with that in mind, people really need to look at and regard people, other humans, in a whole different light, and
mm-hmm.
we need to begin cultivating relationships and rapport with people. You ain't gotta be all up in each other's business and stuff like that, but enough. Of a connection that you can communicate and convey ideas and bring things to fruition. Yep, yep.
Now, speaking
kind
about
like
cultivating relationships, the group that Beata is part of, the guy who started that all, he used to have monthly meetings. I went
mm-hmm.
to one of them where they, I know,
mm-hmm.
you know, people, what would you call those? I mean, people that had businesses, people were thinking about starting businesses. He had food there. I guess
little
it was a
seminars
meeting.
And
like,
stuff.
So, yeah, what would you call it? Yeah, would you call it a meet and greet type thing he had set up?
Thomas Wu, come to my seminar. You want to be rich like me? Come to my seminar.
No. He didn't have anything like that. He didn't have anything like that.
I'm just kidding.
Well, his whole motion was about finding 1,000 friends. That's what he was always
right.
speaking about. Gather 1,000.
Oh.
So he was looking for a variety of people, diverse people with different backgrounds. To just
mm-hmm.
have, like you would say, build social capital. That's
mm-hmm.
basically
mm-hmm.
what he was doing.
Yeah.
He didn't have any real plans on any particular project, but he wanted to build
mm-hmm.
social capital. And then his plan was once you had that social capital, all right,
mm-hmm.
maybe you want to be interested in this project over here, and I got some gold coins
mm-hmm.
you might be interested over here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if that was as well thought out as it should have been.
Well, you know what I think? He
had the right idea. He just didn't
yeah.
follow
yeah,
through with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he should have kept it.
You know,
But he also had monthly conference calls, didn't he?
For a while, but that was more on a spiritual level. He was talking about the Bible
yeah.
and spiritual journey.
Yeah. But see,
yeah,
that's what it is. It's the line of communication. He broke the line of communication. And when he did that, you can't do anything. You can't move. You can't go forward. And the only reason why it's going forward now is because there's money coming out of it. If there wasn't, it would just filter right on away, fade right on away, probably.
Well, you know, think about it. He kept those going. You know, he might have had five more houses by now.
Yeah, easily.
Kidding? No. Because the thing you discover is when you're in a business or a partnership like this, you find out more about the people you're working with. And even though we're getting income from this property, I don't want to work with this guy anymore. Because it's been three years of making a lot of mistakes and people with big egos and who are sensitive to criticism. It's like, nah, I think I'll pass on any other business relationship we could have. So you learn more about the people you're working with, and you can decide whether you want to continue the relationship or get out of it or keep going, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you do learn a lot. Like, yeah, I've learned a lot.
That's true. Well, the cash flow for now is keeping you together after 4 years. So, but you're right. Those other factors you had to look at. Because you know what? Everybody, you know, you do have to go into it, like you said, with the right intention. So people go into these things thinking they can quit their job or make $1 million in 30 days, don't join.
Right. It's a slow learning process.
Yeah.
And it is a learning process.
And don't join if you're a person with the mindset of at the expense of others, because that ain't no good either. Okay? That kind of attitude is not.
Well, I thought that was very. I think we all did. Out of 400 potential people, only 30 sent in $1, and out of the 30 that sent in $1, only about what you said, Robin, 11 people. Actually,
11 people participated with $22 initially.
But it's they've been successful for what, 3 years? So people have paid back the loans, and there's no. But like I said, it seems like small is the best way to go.
Because
everybody knows each other. You can look at it as your private bank.
Small but mighty. And the thing is, collectively, you know, when you stand united collectively, that's very, very powerful. And so that means that your money combined together will be more effective for you as well. It might not seem a lot. People might go, well, wow, $22, what's that going to get me? Well, it's getting people loans, enough of the loans that they can take and put a down payment on something or put an investment and make some improvements in their businesses or something.
Right. Well, like,
I don't know.
Put something in that's going to generate a cash flow. All right. Well, Viata will be on with Soul Purpose Healing on, Facebook within, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, an hour.
And then Viata, if you want to call in, what is the call-in number? 215-383-5863. And Robin from Vibes Live, can we get the Vibes Live?
Man, just turn on the internet. You can find, search out Vibes Live anywhere, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Periscope. And all the roads will lead back to the live broadcast.
Okay, thank you all. Everyone have a good rest of the night. We'll be on this topic all week.